You're listening to the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast, and now it's time for our feature interview. And it's a great pleasure this week to talk to one of the real legends of our game, and that's Kate Richardson-Walsh. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Hello, thank you very much for having me on.
Now, we thought we'd get you on the program ostensibly this week to talk about the World Cup because, A, you've been to a few, so you know something about them, and B, you're going to be doing some commentary work there.
Yeah, really excited. Yeah, my first World Cup was way back in 2002 in Perth, which was amazing, but it seems like a really long time ago now, and yeah, gearing up for this one now, not playing, and I've got a different role, but it's going to be an amazing tournament.
Do you still feel like you're picking up the stick again when the closer the tournament's getting?
We were saying yesterday, so I went down to Lee Valley and saw the setup and all the stands are up now and all the kind of hospitality and everything's coming together and the teams were there training and kind of getting used to the turf. And I was like, oh, this is that when you kind of get close to it again and you get that sense of that bit of nervous energy, you just want to get started, nobody wants to kind of get any injuries at this point, but you've got practice games to play and everything's just coming together, and that's such a nice time, I think, to be in that team. So there was part of me that was like, oh, I do miss that, but then there's another part of me that thought about all the training that they've done in the lead up to this point, and I don't miss that, so it's good. Yeah, all good.
Well, let's talk about some hockey to start with, shall we? I'm really looking forward to this tournament. I think there's going to be some cracking games, and I could make a case for anybody in the top 10 really on a day to win over anybody else.
Yeah, agreed. I think you look at the Dutch and the Argentinians, you just historically, and I think just in terms of the sheer numbers that they've got, strength and depth in those countries, I think you'd be hard pressed to see them outside of the medals. But I think, as you say, anybody on their day, and I think that's been the strength of, I think, women's hockey. I think men's hockey's been there for a few years, that kind of that depth of kind of, you say, the top 10, 8-10, and I think women's hockey's there now, and so I think there's a whole bunch that kind of sit behind those two that could beat anybody on their day. So it is exciting, and I think that's the tournament format. So if you win, obviously win your pool, you go straight to a quarter final, but if you finish third in the pool, you still got a shout at a quarter final, so there's always something to play for. And there's three pool games, you can't really afford too many slip ups, so it's going to be exciting. There are going to be lots of games with big things on them, which is what you want.
Well, it's interesting. We've talked quite a lot over recent shows about the format in different tournaments and how down to fourth place you would still get a shot and you could have somebody who would lose all of their pool games and go through. That's not the case this time around, is it?
No, so it's that. So it's top one in each pool goes through the quarter, and then third and second will play off against another pool. So if you come third in the pool, you play second in another pool for a chance to get into a quarter final. But so, yeah, fourth spot, in a pool you're out, but you know, I mean, it's just, you just think three pool games, tournaments are roller coasters, and you look at some of those final pool games, so there's Australia New Zealand final pool game in that pool, it's just got a rip roaring game written all over it. You know, there potentially could be some serious implications of who you then meet in a quarter final based on that pool game, and it's so early on in a tournament to be having such a big game, but it's great for the fans. It's exactly what you want to watch as a spectator.
Kate, you mentioned the Netherlands there, and I watched them play at their Hockey World League finals last year, and they were almost a class above everybody else, but they still weren't putting teams away. They still weren't flogging teams. And I think this could be a real big breakout tournament for them. They'll either stamp their authority as being one of the truly great sides and just walk all over everybody, or they're going to be up for the picking. Someone's going to be able to find a chink in their armour.
Yeah, and I think that'll be... I mean, I think there's quite a lot of pressure on Alice Nannan as coach. I think she has to do well with his team at this tournament. I think, you know, Dutch Hockey Federation are pretty demanding and they want success and they want continual success, particularly with that women's side. So there is a little bit of, yeah, the pressure is on them for sure. They come in ranked number one. People expect them, I think, to be up and around that gold medal spot. But there is downside to that, and I think everybody's got weakness. And I think if teams can get at their weaknesses, like you say, I think anybody can potentially take them on the day. I mean, they've had recent games at Four Nations over in Holland, and they were putting a lot of goals past the likes of Japan and China. So, and that's okay, I think, against those teams, but can they do it against Argentina? Can they do it against New Zealand? And I think that is when we'll really see them tested. But they've certainly got potential to put sides away. They've got a lot of quality. It's still forming, I think, as a team. It's in that kind of in between the Olympic cycles. They're still really getting a lot of that youth through the side, but I think they will be the team to beat for sure.
Now, of course, they were the winners at home in 2014, beating Australia 2-0 in the final. Mm. In 2010, the Argentinians were the winners, and that was at home in Rosario. Yeah. Is this potentially a good omen for England this time around? Sorry, for GB this time around?
Yeah, I mean, I think for England at home, I think it will help them massively. I think the crowd will get behind them. It's a positive environment to play in front of. It's a positive crowd. I think it will help them rather than hinder them as a team, so I think they will take that energy onto the field. I think home advantage is an interesting one. I think we've seen it over the years. I think it was the Spanish women's team all the way back to Barcelona in 92 Olympics. I think the women's team won the gold medal there, you know, and that was maybe a little bit unexpected at the time, but it is that home advantage. It's not just the crowd, there's all the other elements around it that you can control when you're at home. The food you're eating, where you're staying, what you do in your rest days. All of that stuff is more controllable when you're at home. So those things, I think, will add up. I think certainly with Tony Kerry in charge, you need no stone unturned, and I think that will play into their hands. But the Argentinian team, they want to stamp their authority. They want to be the team. They want to get up into that gold medal position again. So it's got a hallmark of a good tournament.
Can you see anybody coming as a bolt from the blue that maybe, you know, might sort of step above their bounds?
Yeah, but like I say, there's a kind of a big group. So I think New Zealand have been playing well. I think they always look great in the final third. I think under Mark Hagar, I think they're finishing. Their ruthlessness and aggressive play in the final third, I think, is a hallmark of a good Black Sticks team. So I think if they can play tight and secure out of their back section, I think if they defend as a team really well, I think I certainly think Black Sticks could be in there. I think, who else do I think? Hockey Roos, they're rebuilding. I think they've got a couple of people not playing, which I would have liked to have seen there, but I think they're injured. So they could always cause an upset. I think you've got to back them on their day. Hockey Roos have always got something about them. They've got that little bit of quality. They'll definitely be up there in those quarterfinals and then the knockout stages. Who else? Germany, again, like, performed amazingly well at the Olympics in Rio. Youngish side, but they again do have a sprinkling of quality. They finished fourth at Europeans last year. There's something there, but again, not quite got that consistency. So it will be just a case of who rides out the tournament in the most consistent way and just, say, you know, eats out a 2-1 win or 1-0 win, just gets those points on the board and just gets that momentum going through the tournament. And any team can do that. If you get on a roll, get that positive momentum, it really could be anyone's, like you said at the beginning.
Now, Kate, just before we move on, we will be doing a daily podcast during the World Cup, going through the results of the previous day and previewing the games coming up. What we like from you is a 1-2-3 that we could put into our preview program and see how well you go. We won't hold you to it.
Goodness me, you're putting me on the spot now.
Yeah. You can show bias.
Well, I know. I have to back the girls, don't I? What do I think? So if England win their pool, I think they'll likely miss the Dutch in a crossover. So I don't think they then meet them potentially till further down, which I think is quite big. So I'm going to back them. I'm going to say England, Netherlands, Argentina. I'm going for it. I'm backing the girls.
Oh, great.
Confident.
It's coming home. Kate.
Don't say that.
Yes, that would be nice. That would be nice, because we've finished fourth and we've still felt like it's coming home in the Football World Cup. So if we could actually win and then say it has actually come home, that would be good. Yeah.
Now, we've heard some amazing things about what BT Sport have got lined up. We've got Hawkeye smart replay systems, ultra-high definition, 26 cameras, ball tracking technology. Yeah. It sounds fantastic. Yeah. What's lined up?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, I was talking to BT Sport yesterday. They've got, I mean, I was fascinated about Dolby Atmos sound. I was like, what is that? but I think basically they're just making you feel like when you're watching a game, you're right in it, you're really hearing, feeling, seeing everything about the game, which I think you need that number of cameras to film a hockey game. And I think we've finally got to that point where we've got the right angles, we've got the close-up shots, we've got the wide tactical views. I know they're going to have the spider cam coming out for the semi-final, final game. Ooh. So that just adds an extra element and some great overhead shots. I think certainly for penalty corners and stuff like that, you really get that tension in that moment with that spider cam. So I think they do a great job. They've got lots of the old players back doing commentary and punditry, and it's going to be a great 16 days.
Spider cam.
Something to aim for.
I'm wondering if the players are going to pick that one out. Yeah, they would in our grade. We'd be looking at that as a target.
Try and smash it. I'm sure someone will try and smash it. Yeah, as long as it's not picking up volume, you don't hear any of the huddle chat. It'll be fine.
I'm a bit concerned about the Dolby Atmos as well, with hearing the umpire's whistle going behind me in the living room.
Oh,
I'll be a bit unsettled.
That's a good point.
You're right across
it. I know some of them. Some of them get a bit aggro, blow it a bit too hard.
Now, we know that Ash Morrison and Simon Mason are there in the commentary box, and quite a lot of your former teammates as well.
Yeah, so Ashley Morrison and Charlie Broom, I think, are the lead commentators. Both of them are just brilliant. I've seen them both in their element, and they're just the knowledge, the notes they both take are just amazing. So those two are leading on that, and then we've got Mel Clulow, some ex-teammate, Simon Mason as well, helping them out, and then Helen Richardson Walsh, she's coming in to help them in the second week. And then there's myself, Sam Queck and Krista Cullen will be rotating through punditry and kind of talking to the teams down on the field, get out in the crowd, talking to people that are out there watching as well. So it's nice to have that bit of legacy that we wouldn't have had the chance to have before, because hockey wasn't on TV. So this is the legacy, I think, of London 2012 and the group out in Rio, and that squad, and what they've done has now built this platform where BT Sport want to show it, and that means there is an option for players to be talking about the sport that they love and they've got kind of that experience and knowledge of. So it's really, really important.
Hey, Kate, have you managed to check out your commentary booth yet?
Yeah, it's right in the middle of the stand. So the massive stand that they've built, I think it seats, that one stand alone, I think seats 5,500 people, and it's slap bang right in the middle of that stand, and it's open, so there's no window, and you're right in the noise. So that's just going to be an awesome spot.
I heard a rumor that Ashley Morrison was the only guy that could stand up straight in that box. Can you confirm that?
Oh, I don't know. I've not seen that. Or he likes to stand up when he gets excited. So it's important that he's able to stand up. So when he gets near that goal, when he gets a bit excited, it's good for him to be able to stand up and not smash his head. So as long as Ash can do that, we're happy.
So how are things being taken back there at home? Is are we getting some good local media interest?
Yeah, it's good. So the Times are picking it up, so I know they're sent. So Helen and I are going to write a few things for them, and they've got their journalists down there. I think once it gets down the kind of business end of the tournament, I'm quite sure the BBC are going to be knocking on BT Sports door, asking if they can show bits and pieces online and through their streaming service. I expect it'll just be a case of seeing how the tournament rolls. I think people have kind of got a bit of a hangover from Wimbledon. the tennis, obviously, and then the Football World Cup. But so I think once people kind of get into the tournament and they know it's on, I think, you know, hockey is still a minority sport in this country, where you've got football, cricket, rugby, kind of golf taking up most of the pages. So it's just a case of, I think, finding those little spots we can get in there and taking that opportunity.
Yeah, you mentioned before as well, you said the word legacy, and there was obviously, well, there was a boost in numbers post London Olympics, and obviously your great success in Rio. Is this something that we're hoping for, to further boost and further build the numbers at home there for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, for me personally, I think we need to just widen the view a little bit with hockey in this country. I think we could sometimes unintentionally, I think, close ourselves off and be, you know, a middle class sport that's kind of getting a little bit more elitist, and potentially only played in independent schools and in the private sector. And we want to keep that broad. You know, lots of my teammates and myself included were from the state sector, and, you know, we need to make sure that everybody's getting the opportunity to play. And, you know, if facilities aren't there, then let's share facilities, let's make it work. And so it's hoping, you know, I would love to get hockey in this World Cup out to people that haven't watched before, haven't played before, that will go out afterwards and try and find their local club, local pitch, you know, get PE teachers wanting to play hockey again in school. I think that's kind of the next boundary that I think we need to cross, and just keep broadening our hockey family as much as possible.
Well, that's a perfect opportunity to talk to you about your role as an ambassador for Access Sport and the Flyers program. Now, I understand there are some Flyers teams that are heading down to the World Cup.
Yeah, so they have got their own tournament going on the 29th of July, I think it is. So they've got a tournament at Waltham Forest Hockey Club. So they've got teams from all around the country. I think they might have some international teams coming over to play a tournament there during the day, and then in the afternoon they're coming down to Lee Valley, and they're going to have a bit of a showcase event in the spectator area. So, and you can be in there without a ticket, so everybody can come down to the Olympic Park where the hockey pitches were during the London Olympic Games, and just come and listen to Access Sport, listen to some of the Flyers talk about their journey, see their enjoyment of hockey, and just sharing that. Because, you know, I was going around to schools and companies saying, yeah, hockey's great, hockey's for everybody, and then actually found out, you know what, it actually isn't for everybody at the moment, and we're blocking lots of people off, and lots of people that are those with disabilities. And, you know, you can make it work, you can use adapted equipment, you can make it inclusive, make your sessions inclusive. But it's just educating people, giving people the knowledge, giving people the tools. There's definitely a desire for it. We've already got, I think, over 17 clubs around the country now doing flyers, having flyers programs in their clubs, and we want to make that more. And we've got lots of clubs coming down especially for that, to see that flyers network, and to see those flyers players, and to listen to their stories, and to make sure that's an option in all those clubs. I think Access Sport are targeting 40 clubs to start with, to try and get it really across the country being played by everybody.
Yeah, I think we're moving in the right direction, Kate, with the Power ID stuff that's going on. We're yeah, certainly trying to be more socially inclusive. We love walking hockey on the show, and we love back to hockey. You know, there seems to be steps in the right direction.
Totally, absolutely, yeah. I mean, back to hockey has just been, I think that's one of the most amazing things that came off the back of London 2012. I think there's so many, particularly women, but women that have, you know, maybe played a little bit at school, and then just life took over. You know, they had families, they went to work, and they got too busy, and going to a hockey club just seems like such a big commitment, to pay a whole membership the whole year and not potentially be able to go every week, and not wanting to let the team down. And so back to hockey just allows people to just go and have that flexible time, and yet get that same social, get that community spirit that you miss when you start playing that team sport. And so it's some of the stories that I've heard from men and women that have gone back to hockey and just absolutely loved it, is just the whole reason we play, you know, just that is the reason. So it's, yeah, the summer is brilliant. It's got absolutely going in the right direction. It's great.
We did it for the first time this year at our club, and we had about 13 people for the six-week programme, and six or seven of them have ended up playing for the rest of the season.
Excellent, yeah. And that is so, so common. And it's just giving people the chance. Just give people the chance and the opportunity, and more often than not, they'll take it. And I think that's brilliant. It's fantastic news.
So do you know anything else that's going on at Fan Central?
So I know there's lots of events going on in the spectator zone. I think one of the events, we have got walking hockey, so that's going to be a big part of that. I think the Hockey Museum have got a massive store, which I absolutely love, because I don't think I couldn't go to the library and get a book on the history of hockey necessarily. I think you'd have to really, really search for it. Mm. But I think the fact that we've got the Hockey Museum now, it's got international history of hockey, and they're always building and always taking, you know, equipment, bits of old equipment in, and kit and stories and pictures and everything. So that's going to be down there. They're all going to be there on one of the days. I think it might be the when England play Ireland, again, to recognise and to have represented the whole of England women's hockey representation, because I don't think we even know how many people have represented England as an international hockey player who have got a cap. I don't think we know that number, and so to just get that group of players together is going to be really inspirational.
That's one of the sad things about hockey, is that we don't have these statistical, you know, milestones that we can mark. You know, it's terrible. We've got to work on that.
So I believe the Hockey Museum will launch their first book this week, or it's just coming out, and that's about women's internationals at Wembley Stadium, at the old Wembley Stadium.
Yeah,
and boy, they were some crowds.
I went to watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's how old I am. Yeah, I went to watch the Typhoon. I think it used to be called the Typhoon Cup. And I went to Wembley, and it must have been the '80s. And it was packed, absolutely packed, full. So you've got to be getting up to, I don't know, in the 90,000s probably, people.
Yep.
And all watching hockey, lots of screaming schoolgirls. But how amazing is that? Like, how did you get to that point where you're filling Wembley? Like, how big was the sport in those days? And like I say, I didn't realise the World Cup in itself for the women's side of the game is so complex and so interesting to understand, because there was a tournament for many years that couldn't be called the World Cup. There wasn't a cup presented. But it was a world tournament, but you couldn't have any winners. So back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, the women weren't allowed to win or be given a gold medal or say that they were the winner of this world tournament. They couldn't even call it a World Cup, because that was just what sport was like for women in that day. And I've only just found that out now, and I'm like, yeah, that's my roots. That's where I've come from, and we need to talk about that and share that and get it out there.
It seems so laughable, doesn't it? That were, you know, it's crazy.
But what's also wonderful is that there's so much great imagery from around the sort of, you know, 1890s, 1900s. We've got it here in Fremantle, of women in long, cumbersome dresses, not in sportswear in any way, shape, or form, but playing the game.
I know. You think, like, what they used to wear in the kind of 20s, 30s to play hockey versus, you know, now, the smallest, tightest lycra thing you've ever seen in your life. And you're like, yeah, how can you expect people to run around, sweat, you know, exert themselves to the limit of, but I can see why people thought sport wasn't for women, because they're playing hockey in a corset. You know, if I tried to play hockey in a corset, I'd probably pass out. You know, it's just amazing. That history is just so important to share. And as you say, it's international. I think that's the really cool thing about it.
It's funny you say that, Kate. Some of my over 50s teammates, I think, do play in a corset just quietly. But we'll keep that for another day.
Keep it in.
Yeah.
Keep it all tucked in. Yeah, keep it all tucked in,
Now, Kate, at the beginning of this interview, I described you as being one of the legends of our game, and I didn't use that term lightly. And for the listeners that perhaps may not know too much about you. Matt, you have some numbers. Can you just go through some of those numbers for us?
375 international appearances, 4 Olympic Games, 4 World Cups, 4 Commonwealth Games. England, a GB captain for 13 years. You had the pleasure of a Com Games silver medal in front of a home crowd in Manchester in 2002, a bronze at home in the London Olympics, and of course the gold medal at the Rio Olympics in 2016. Oh, don't forget the Euros in 2015 on the lead up to that as well.
That is some career by anybody's standards. Do you ever sit back and smell the roses, Kate?
No, God, no. There's always things where you think, oh, I could have done that better, or I could have been better at that, or, you know, just not regrets, but I think just looking back, you know, there were some real hard times as well. So, you know, we didn't qualify as GB for the Olympics in 2004. That was a really hard time. We lost 70% of our funding. You know, 2014, we came 11th out of 12 at the World Cup. And yes, there was success after that, but I don't think you can sit here and go, wow, because you also look back and go, but there were some really shocking times as well. And that's probably what makes the good times seem so good, but it's not all sunshine and roses. There was the tough stuff as well, as any kind of athlete or sports team will say.
Kate, you mentioned something there where you talked about the funding cut. Is that something that actually weighs on the minds of a modern hockey player, knowing that, you know, that all that stuff's linked for them?
Yeah, I think as I got older, I think it probably got more real. When I was first in the team, and even when I was captain, I was 23, and when I was first made captain, I was still just finishing off my studies at university at that time. So, you know, you're kind of used to just scraping by and not living on very much money. So I wasn't in the working world full time at that point to really know what I was missing if it was taken away. But I think as you got older and you realise, God, this could end tomorrow. If I could get injured, I could get deselected, I could just completely lose my form, and I could get dropped from this, and I'm needing to go and work. Plus the fact that if you are lucky enough to get selected, go to a tournament, be one of the lucky few, you then have that pressure of knowing that you have to get a certain target. Otherwise, chances are your funding, which is government funding, could get cut. There could be a change of government and it could get cut. There could be a change of policy. And I think as you got older, that did become more real and you were more aware. And I think certainly in London and in Rio, we knew, both the men's and the women's hockey side, we knew one of us had to medal to keep our funding. And that is shared pressure, of course it is, but it is pressure. And I think you, as an older player, I think you do carry that around with you a little bit.
So what do you think about the immediate future of the international game with respect to that and the introduction of the Pro League?
Yeah, I think we need to, and I think we have to look more towards private sponsorship and private funding as governing bodies. But that's tough. You know, there are so many teams, organisations, charities that are seeking out and trying to find that that backing of a big corporate sponsors or a number of big corporate sponsors. And so it's a tough world out there trying to find that. However, we're going to need to go down that road because it's a treacherous, you know, kind of high beam that we're on with government funding. It's been amazing, and I have seen the absolute brilliance of National Lottery funding, but it might go. And, you know, the UK sport now are looking at how they fund Olympic and Paralympic sports, and, you know, they might change. They might decide, actually, you know what, we're not going to fund team sports because you're massive and you need so much more money than another sport, and they could quite easily take it away. So we do need to generate income from different areas. Broadcasting, I think, is one of those areas, so hence I think the Pro League brings that into the mix. I think it then gives it an audience which will hopefully attract those corporate partners and corporate sponsors, and give teams, governing bodies and individual players that little bit extra platform, which will, I think, then help the sport just lift it up to that next level of professionalism. But it's, then again, you know, how much pressure we're putting on that Pro League to work. It's a fantastic idea and I like the concept, and if I was 24 I'd bite your arm off, but I was thinking, God, you know, when I was in my 30s, I'd be like grandma getting off the plane, trying to play a game and then get back, back on a plane again. Well, that wouldn't work probably for me towards the end.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned... go on.
For the sport, I think it's good.
So interesting you mentioned Olympics and costs there. Now, it's obviously a fair bit of interest around what's happening with Youth Olympic Games with the Hockey Fives format, and we hear that the IOC are very keen on reducing the numbers involved with hockey. Where do you see the future, 11-a-side or 5-a-side at the Olympics?
I think in 2012, I think after 2012, the IOC were reviewing which sport we're going to move forward, and I'm pretty certain that hockey was in the bottom three that were potentially going to get kicked out, and that is about money and it is about numbers, but it's number of beds in the village and the cost of feeding those athletes, and the hockey team is obviously pretty big. I would love to keep the format as it is, the four size 11 aside, because it's our history, it's the game. I love indoor hockey and it's exciting and it's quick, and obviously fives is like that but on a slightly bigger scale and outside, but it will bring lots of the best elements of hockey out. But then how, you know, will we then go to fives in all of the leagues around, all the domestic leagues, you know, where you need to be able to, as a youngster or as a player playing in a domestic league, be able to switch on the Olympics and be able to recognise the game that you play. Maybe it's a bit faster, hopefully a little bit faster, but it's the game that you play and it's what you can connect to. And yes, I think Hockey Fives will have elements of that, but it's not that full size game. So I would really love them to keep the full size format, but I know it is about money and it's about beds in the Olympic Village and mouths to feed. So we're going to have to work hard. And I think Hockey Fives has worked well with the Youth Olympics. I know Helen is one of the athlete ambassadors that's going out there this time for hockey and for the British Olympic Association. So I think it is a great tournament, it is a great concept, and it's exciting to watch. But do we want that at the Olympics? I'm not sure I would like to see it. I think I'd like to see the full format still.
Kate, do you still play at all? Do you still get a ball on stick occasionally?
So I played, I didn't play last season, so the season before after Rio, I played in Bloemendaal in the Netherlands for a season, and then last season I didn't play outdoor, but I played indoor for East Grinstead. And then this coming season I'm going to co-coach Hampstead and Westminster with Sarah Kelleher. So it's going to be, I'll have a hockey stick in my hand, but in a different way. always having a stick in the hand somehow.
So you've been the opposite side from Mr. Quan Brown. Is he on the men's side again this season?
Yeah, Quan still coaching the men, yeah. And so that was kind of also one of the reasons. So coaching with Sarah, Sarah Keller's an ex-Irish international. I played with her at Slough many moons ago. And she's the England under 18 girls coach. So it'd be great to coach with her. I think I'll learn a lot from her. And then Quan... yeah, he's obviously in the England setup. He's with the senior men and also doing the development squad stuff. So it's an under-21. So it's really good to learn and to see how Quan works with the players, kind of stuff that he's teaching them, how he coaches. And I think that was one of my main reasons for going to Hampton was to get that kind of learning experience from those coaches.
Look, I have no doubt at all that you'll make coaching a success, just like you have done with everything else you've done in the game so far. Kate,
knew you would find a way to find a link to Kate. Quan Brown. You did. Every interview we have, Kate, with someone from the United Kingdom, he manages to find some link to that person that we're talking to, and he's just done it then.
Oh, genius. The hockey world's a small world. Everybody knows everybody.
Well, that's the beauty of it, isn't it? We're one big happy hockey family.
Very dysfunctional, happy, happy family. That is exactly what we are,
Kate, we wish you every success in your commentary and all the other jobs that you're doing there, and the representation also for Access Sport and the great work that you're doing there. You know, I hope you enjoy the tournament. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. No, thank you very much for chatting to me today. I've loved it. Thank you very much.
Pleasure, Kate. Anytime. Oh, look, that's
lovely
great.
To meet you.
That's brilliant, Kate. Thank you so much. And genuinely, we hope it's going to be an absolutely bloody amazing event. Everything's pointing in the right direction for it.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be just, yeah, if we can get in, I think we need England to kind of go as far as they can. I think that's going to be quite key for getting everybody watching it. So fingers crossed they can do the job. Yeah.
Now, we always, whoever we speak to, we put a little picture up on our podcast imagery. Is there a preferred source where we can grab a photo of you, or do you just grab something from somewhere? It's not like there's a shortage of them.
I can send. I mean, I've not really got any, to be honest. I mean, I can send one over. Is that easier?
Yeah, that would be good.
Email,
yeah, yeah.
Email's fine.
Yeah, whatever
yeah,
your preferred.
Yeah,
whatever your preferred one. If you want something with Access Sport on it or whatever, that's fine.
Okay, I'll see what I can dig out.
Super.
Yeah, no worries. Anything else?
That's it. We'll let you get on with your busy schedule, I'm sure. When do you actually head to the grounds? Have you got
I went down yesterday to have a chat to BT Sport and have a look round Saturday. So we're just rolling in on Saturday. I think they're setting everything up tomorrow or Friday. It's Wednesday today, isn't it? I've lost my days. so setting everything up on Friday and then we just go in on Saturday. Yeah. Be good.
That's brilliant.
Oh, we're looking forward to it.
Kate, thank you so much. This is going to be a ripper of an episode for us, and we'll send you the links through and everything on Twitter and make sure you're tagged
in
on everything.
Cool. Yeah, no worries. Lovely to speak to you both.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Take care.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.